Prabha Kunjabi Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Gopi Janna Balaba Giribala Dare. Jaya Gopi Janna Balaba Giribala Dare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribara Dare. Giribar Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Braja Yamuna Tera Ubanda Chare. Yamuna Tira Ubanda Chare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare. Shishi Radha Madhava Astasaki ki jai. Chaitanya Chandraya Mandir ki jai. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we have three texts, starting with text number 2. Okay, so I will read the Sanskrit alone. Then text 4 we will all read together. And this is Krishna and the gopis. Krishna and the gopis meet. The meeting of Krishna and the gopis. This chapter. Okay, we can do this now. Tado duraja kukuba kurar mukam pracha vilimpana marunena santmahi dristva kumudvantam akanda mandalam Raman an abbam navakukum arunam vanam chakomalam gobiranjitam jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam. And then today's verse, number 4. Nishamya Gitam Tad Anangabardhanam. Nishamya Gitam Tad Anangabardhanam. Nishamya Gitam Tad Anangabardhanam. Vrajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Vrajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Vrajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshitodya Maha. Ajagmur Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshitodya Maha. Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshitodya Maha. Sayatra Kanto Jabalola Kundalaha. Jabalola Kundalaha. Sayatra Kanta Jabalola Kandulaho. Nishamya Gitam Tarangabardhanam. Vrajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshito Diyamaha. Sahyatra Kanta Javalola Kundala. Bolie. Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Rajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha.
Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshito Dhyamaha.
Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundalaha. Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundalaya. Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Rajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Ajaganyonyam Lakshito Jamaha. Yatra Kanto Javalola. Ladies, damas estimadas, Nishamya Gitam Madananga Vardhanam. Rajastriya Krishna Grita Manasaha. Jagyanyonyam Malakshito Jamaha. Sayatra Kanto Javalola Kundala. Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Rajastriyam Krishna Grihita Manasa.
Jaganyonyamalakshito Manaha. Sayatra Kanto Javalo Lukandalai. Ishambagitam Daranandabhadanam. Vajrasisham Krisham Vihamanasaha. Ajarmaranyonyam Malikshyatam Narai.
Nishamya. Hearing.
Hearing.
Gitam. The music.
Tat.
That. Ananga. Cupid. Vardhanam. Which fortifies. Vrajastriyaho. The young women of Vraja. Krishna. By Krishna. Grita. Seized. Manasaha. Whose minds? Ajag Muhu. They went. Anyonyam. To one another. Alakshita. Unnoticed. Udya. Maha. They're going forward. Saha. He. Krishna. Yatra. Where? Kantaha. Their boyfriend. Java. Because of their haste. Lola. Swinging. Kundalaha. Whose earrings? Yeah. Okay. And go back to the text number 2. Yeah. Huh?
You
going to
read the translation
for
that or not?
I'll go back to. I'll take them one after another. Okay.
After the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
You'd be president. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now we'll read the text in order here. Okay. Text number 1, of course, describes that Krishna decided he wanted to enjoy some amorous activities. Okay. Okay. And so, okay, then he wanted to employ his internal potency. So it says, the moon then rose, anointing the face of the western horizon. It says western here.
It says western here.
I was wondering. Pratyaha. Pratyaha? Pratyaha means. Yeah. Anyway, I was. I had the same question there. Yeah, we think this. Great minds think the same way. Yeah, maybe I don't. Maybe because it's shining that way and it's reflecting back. Anyway, okay. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the western horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kunkuma. Purport. Young Krishna engaged his internal potency, and she immediately created an exciting atmosphere for conjugal love. Okay. Text number 3. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the moon, full moon, glowing with the red effulgence of newly applied vermilion, as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence, and the forest gently illuminated by its rays. Thus the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful-eyed gopis. Purport. The word jagao in this verse indicates that Lord Krishna played songs on his flute, as confirmed in text 40 by the words ka shri anga te kala padayata venu gita. The word Rama may indicate not only Lord Vishnu's consort, but also Srimati Radharani, the original goddess of fortune. Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty of the moon god, and the moon plays a prominent role here in preparing for the Lord's entrance into the midst of the rasa dance. And then text number 4. When the young women of Vrindavana heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. Purport. Apparently, each gopi went secretly, hoping to avoid advertising to her rivals the fact that young Krishna was in the mood for romantic affairs. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti poetically describes the situation as follows. Quote, Krishna instigated a terrible act of thievery in Vrindavan when he played on his flute. The song of his flute entered through the ears of the gopis into the inner treasure chamber of their hearts. That wonderful music stole all their most valuable possessions, their sobriety, shyness, fear, and discrimination, along with their minds. And in a split second, this music delivered all these goods to Krishna. Now each gopi went to beg the Lord to return her personal property. Each beautiful gopi girl was thinking, I have to capture that great thief. And thus they went forward, each unknown to the others. Any questions? When I heard that I was giving a class on the Rasleela chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. Did Prabhupada ever give any classes on the 10th canto? Yeah. Did he? Classes? Public classes? Purports, yeah. I wonder. We've been staying at Radhakund somehow or other. Actually, we have been staying at Radhakund. We've been staying 9 minutes from Radhakund, which is a little more safe. But it's very nice. Every day we can walk around the Kunda two times and so on. And one devotee there was saying that Prabhupada also went for parikrama past Radhakund. And the devotees were asking him, oh Prabhupada, what is the significance of Radhakund? And Prabhupada said, it is Radharani's bathing place. That's it. Like that. So the very, very advanced topics. If we're discussing the 10th canto, that means everybody here has already gone through cantos 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Everybody here is completely self-realized by Kuntavasi, per people like that. Is that true? Still working on it. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, Prabhupada in the very beginning, he gave the Krishna book. Right? In the very beginning like that. Yeah?
In Bombay, March 19th, 1971, he spoke on the Krishna steals a garment to the unfulfilled.
Oh my God. It's the only one?
Well, only one I see.
Okay. It's the only one. It's the most... Maybe explain the whole thing. Yeah. So it's a very, very advanced topic. Yeah. And I think it's 2223 or something. So it's the Lord in the heart, second canto, chapter 2, the Lord in the heart. And it's describing the darshan of the Paramatma. I think it's 2223. And in the purport, Prabhupada uses the word sex desire like 25 times. 25 times he says sex desire, sex desire, sex desire, sex desire. Okay, we understand what you're talking about. Sex desire, sex desire. Yeah, yeah. And then he says that one should first become qualified, you know, to understand Krishna's lotus feet. I think it's talking about meditating on the Paramatma and the Vishnu in the heart, starting at his lotus feet. And he says the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, one should not dare to recite beyond the first two cantos as long as he is still entrapped by gross illicit sex. This is like a lawyer here. Yeah. So, Prabhupada says one should not take sannyas unless he at least theoretically understands he's not the body. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're progressing. So maybe as, you know, Madhyama Adhikari, we can, you know, understand these things, appreciate them. Mukunda Maharaj, when he was Grihastha in the very beginning, he wrote to Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Swamiji, I can't stop, you know, I become lusty sometimes, and I'm agitated for sex desire. Then Prabhupada wrote back and said, you should read about Krishna's dealings, amorous dealings with the gopis, and that will pacify your sex desire. So he wrote back and he said, sometimes, Prabhupada, it works. I hear about these things and it pacifies my sex desires. And other times it only agitates them more. Then Prabhupada wrote back and said, use your intelligence. When it's pacifying your sex desires and go on, when it's agitating them, okay, find something else, you know. So maybe if somebody wants to leave the class, it's okay. If you think it's too agitating about young gopis, you know, leaving their homes and going to meet the boy in the forest. And of course, the air conditioner is set right at the correct temperature. It's a perfect amorous temperature, perfect amorous illumination, perfect amorous fragrance. And of course, every time, you know, Krishna does these incarnations and these pastimes, Yoga Maya is refining these things. Right? It says that Krishna comes to kill all ungodly men. Right? He comes to kill all ungodly men. But I don't think he's able to kill them all. It's just that Maya's running her side of the show and trying to, you know, protect them and do so many things, Mahamaya. You know? And then so Krishna does something, and she's always inventing new kinds of activities also. When Krishna saw Agasura, he was really impressed. Wow, what a demon! That had things sticking out in different colors. Wow, what a demon! Even for a moment, he himself was like, amazed, you know. So we're thinking that Mahamaya was probably telling everybody, he likes my demon. Next time I'm going to do this. I'm going to put on more whiskers. And yeah. So every time Krishna is incarnating, the pastimes are new, they're expanding. When they finish, Krishna and Balaram have a discussion, right? They ever go back and discuss like what happened, how they were able to do things, how Maya was able to hang on to some people. At the end of the Mahabharata, you know, then all the Kauravas are dead, and most of everybody is almost dead. So now they're going to go see Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, right? Yeah. So they're headed that way. And what did Krishna tell Bhima? They're all going that way, but Krishna told Bhima, go to the gymnasium and get the iron statue that Duryodhana used to beat on. Huh? Bring it here. So Bhima's like the whole thing, you know. So they all go to one after another, and Dhritarashtra is sitting there with his eyes covered, and Gandhari is there with her eyes covered, and lamenting, whatever. Then Dhritarashtra said, oh, my nephews are here, and the Pandavas, where's my son Bhima? Where's my cousin Bhima? He's like my own son. Come here. You know, so he reaches out and feels the form and crushes it to nothing like that. And Bhima's looking, looking at Krishna like that. Yeah, because he was going to go forward, and Krishna said, "Push the statue forward." And then Dhritarashtra started crying. He said, you know, I rebelled against my older brother. I did all these things, and now I've murdered his own son. This is terrible. Then Krishna says, no, he's not dead, and then explained it. And then Dhritarashtra actually embraced him and thanked him, you know. Then Kunti said, oh, Yudhisthira, right? You must be very proud now, very happy. You're the king. You're the emperor. You must be feeling so great about everything else. Please come here. You know, let me see you. So he starts to go forward and kneel down in front of her so she can maybe touch his head. And Krishna goes, Dandabats. So Yudhisthira just lies Dandabats in front of her. And Gandhari raises her this reminds me of the day the earth stood still. raises her thing a little bit. Because of her tapasya and austerity, being a good, chaste woman and worshipping Tulsi Devi, the fire comes from her eyes, and she was going to burn Yudhisthira to ashes with her accumulated tapasya. But she sees that he's on his, on Dandabats in front of her, offering full respects to her with no pride at all or, whatever. And so she lowers it down again. But she got the tips of his fingers, right? And the tips of his fingers burned, and he's standing out like that. Yeah. Okay. So the Pandavas are all thinking, oh my gosh, we survived the last problem. One problem after another. The Battle of Kurukshetra was an ocean of problems. It was a great roaring river. Big problem. And Krishna took them through the entire battle of Kurukshetra. Then he took them through past Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. You know? And then the Yudhisthira, oh, okay, we're finished. And Krishna says, nope, my turn. So Gandhari says, oh, Krishna, come here. He says, yes, Mataji. He said, you promised that you wouldn't take up any weapon in this battle. But by all your tricks and everything else, you killed more of my family than anybody else. So now I curse you that everything you're trying to create will be destroyed, and your family will also be destroyed the same way. And then she calms down. And then Krishna says, yes, I accept it all. I accept it all. You know? And yeah, after some time, very quickly, then the Yadus were destroyed and everything else. You know, but he says, you have to understand, that what we were trying to do was almost impossible. The Kali Yuga is my own dark side. The Kali Yuga is absolute evil. Anybody agree with that? You have some experience? When was the first time you came to Vrindavan? What year? 78. For Prabhupada's festival?
Yeah, no, here.
I was here for the festival too.
We were in
Fogel. Oh, okay. I was in the guest house here. Yeah. I don't know. I just stumbled in. Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah. Remember the Parikrama path? It was a path. It wasn't even a place where you couldn't even drive a car on the thing. You know, we're talking about it. We're looking and remembering it. It's like, things have changed. I was here in 78, I was talking to some old man, and he said, when he was a young man, there were forests everywhere, and the Jamuna was full of clean water, and herds of deer would come and drink water from the Jamuna. Yeah. So this is Kali Yuga. Yeah. Prabhupada said, you can't imagine how bad the Kali Yuga is going to get. If you start hearing about some of the things that will happen, your hair will stand on end. Your eyeballs will bulge from your sockets, and the blood will run cold in your veins. Do you want to hear about it? Yeah, this is Krishna's negative nature. It's absolute evil. Absolute evil. So he has to do this. He has to give the living entities free will. I'm letting you do whatever you want to do. As bad as you want to be, okay, try it out. And we'll see if you learn something from it. So he told Gandhari, he said, you had to understand it was a very, very difficult challenge. And with the help of the Pandavas, I was able to save something. Even I wasn't able to save everything. Some of the Dharma was lost, some of these things, chastity, sobriety, were lost, So it's a very continuous competition, and it depends upon all of us. Everybody individually has their particular responsibility. Probably one of the most famous dramatist is Konstantin Stanislavski. Anybody know him? Raise your hand if you know Konstantin Stanislavski. There's no Russians here, okay? He's one of the major directors and theorists of drama in the Western world. Everybody follows him. He said, in the drama, there are no small parts, just small actors. Yeah, for example, one scene, there was a king, and he was receiving people in the drama, and beside him, there were two people standing with spears, guarding him normally, and that's all they had to do, right? I got a small part, no? He made them write a 5-page biography about their character. And so you're standing there, okay. Then maybe, it's not in the play, but maybe like you've been doing this for maybe 7 years, just standing there guarding the king, Then maybe like after 7 years, 2 weeks before, some people came in to see the king, and suddenly they pulled out swords and tried to stab him, and you were able to save the king by this much, right? And you got cut, okay. So now when you're standing there, looking at the people there, how are you looking at them? Yeah, it's a whole, the people, they notice that when these guards are there. Yeah, so there's no small actors. Everybody has a place in Lord Chaitanya's movement, in the Sankirtan movement, and we have to develop our character. Chakrabarti told me, the Prabhupada said, become self-realized, build your character, and preach. It doesn't mean you realize your swarup. It means, what is my varnashram dharma? What is my nature? What is my position? Am I an administrator? Am I an artist? What is my position in this movement? And then, I have to develop my character. If I'm going out on the street selling books, I have to learn how to be sufficiently aggressive and everything else, develop my physical stamina. Yeah. Or if I'm an administrator, I have to learn how to tell a few small lies every now and again. No. I'm an honest administrator. That's the first line, right? Chanika Pandit says, anybody who thinks he's a friend of the king, which I guess we can change, anybody who thinks he's a friend of the temple president is a fool. Okay, anybody who thinks he's a friend of the king is a fool. The king has no friends. As soon as you adopt this position, everybody is looking at you in terms of Prabhu. Yeah. And so devotees, of course, were different. They're different, but still, you have to be, equal to people and stuff like that, and so on, because you have this. And I know people who can't do it. They can't do it because they can't keep this like neutrality to people. They want to be friendly, and then their friends turn on them and want, a new vehicle or something. So. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, is coming into the final conclusion. Ete cha amsa sakala pumsam. Indrari vyakalam lokam radyanti yuge yuge. That's the Paribhasa Sutra. That's what the whole purpose of the book is. So it's showing, Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Manu avatars. What else we got? Shakti Avesha avatars. Expansions. And finally it's coming to Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does Godhead mean? How many times have you heard Prabhupada use the word Godhead? Does anybody know what it means? I do, because I went to the library. I looked it up. He knows. I told him. The word Godhead in English comes from the word Godhood. Like you say, womanhood, manhood, childhood. So Godhood. So there's many personalities. Basically, there's 5 personalities of Godhood. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Obita Acharya, Gadadhar, and Shivas. And this is, but amongst these 5 personalities of the Godhood, the Supreme Personality is Krishna. In Christian tradition, the Godhead is Dr. Gupta? The Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, Jehovah, Jesus, and Paramatma. It's the same thing. Krishna, same comprehension. Krishna, Balaram, and then Mahavishnu, like that. Yeah. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One devotee from Canada, Vedavyas, a French-Canadian devotee, very French-Canadian. And so when he joined as a brahmachari, you know, very quickly he became a big book distributor and, you know, distributing so many books, you know, and everything else. And after about 2 years, he won the Christmas marathon or something. It was many years ago. And so he came with all the devotees from Canada, and they were checked into the, you know, ashram over here. And he told me he thought he was going to go out and sell books to the Brijbasis, you know. So he told me he went out in front of the Krishna Balaram temple and stopped one Brijbasi. Hey, this book is about Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Brijbasi looked at it and said, well, yeah, but here he's one of us. He said it was, the conviction and the, you know, the naturalness of this thing was so intense that he realized that this guy, you know, it's a fact, you know. So he said, like a dog with his tail guns down. He said he just ran back inside Krishna Balaram temple and was looking out through the gate and everything and everybody in front of him and realizing that this is a different place, you know, different place. Yeah. So Vrindavan is, you know, Krishna's supreme abode. Has anybody ever here committed an offense in Vrindavan? What happened? The whole place is after you. The rocks jump on you. The rickshaws try to run you over. Everybody in my experience, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. It's just like, yeah. If you're a pujari, you know when you go on the altar, you can't think bad thoughts about people. When you're off the altar, you can think bad thoughts about people. It's okay, you know. But my experience, other pujaris say the same thing, because that's Dwarpara Yuga. And you think a bad thought, immediately you'll bang your leg against the marble or you put a pin through your finger or something else. You know? So Vrindavan's the same way. You know? It's not an ordinary place. Prabhupada said, control your senses for as long as you can and then get out. Yeah. It's a very, very intense opportunity. Yeah. Anybody who can stay here for a long time, right? Yes, is somehow or other, God only knows why, is Krishna's arrangement, you know. And some people, a Christian pushes them out because they're ready to preach. Okay, you know enough now. Get out there and preach. You know, tell other people about Vrindavan, you know. You know the story about the donkey that would do anything they asked him to do? Should I tell it again? Okay. There was this stupid donkey who would do anything anybody asked him to do. Okay. And so this competition developed. That's if anybody who could, you know, get the donkey to you know, say no, he would win, I guess, 1 lakh rupees or something, you know. So people are coming from all over the place, and they whisper in the donkey's ear, do this, and the donkey goes, do this, and the donkey goes this. So nobody can come up with any task the donkey won't accept. So finally one guy comes along, and he whispers in the donkey's ear, and the donkey goes, and what did you ask the donkey to do? I asked him to be temple president in a Hare Krishna temple.
So, you got the donkey part right.
Yeah. I've been temple president in one farm, one preaching center, and one temple. You know, it's, you know, yeah, yeah. It's a service. It's a very interesting service. There's no any service. Which is harder, to be a mother of 6 kids or temple president? Yeah, it was difficult. So anyway, I was thinking about what to talk about in this verse, and there's almost nothing you can say whatsoever. And anything you can actually illuminate or expand like that is actually not appropriate for most offices, most audiences, and talking about the details of the 10th canto and everything else. So what came to my mind, you know, is that the basic principle I'm understanding here is sex desire. And again, probably that purport's talking about sex desire. And that's the basic fundamental principle, you know. The relationship between men and women is eternal, right? You know, yeah. Chicago, Paris, Tokyo, you know, what else we got? They're not eternal. You know, sometime they're probably going to be finished off pretty quickly. Yeah. But sex desire and relationship between men and women is eternal. You know? But how to realize this? You know? So animals are naturally regulated. Animals are naturally regulated by the Paramatma, so they have their natural relationships, and they're very, very intense. Many animals, species of animals, mate for life. You know, they're more faithful than human beings. Like, for example, wolves. They'll mate, and that's it. They won't have another partner. And if one wolf has illicit sex with another wolf's wife, the other wolves will kill him. You know, it's a community-enforced thing. It's quite amazing like that. We had a whole semester on comparative psychology of animals. And so you see that there's a lot of regulation. There's a lot of influence from the Virat Roop on how these roles affect us. You know? Varna Ashram Dharma is a part of the Virat Roop. It's material. When you take on a certain position, you know, you get that role descends upon you. Carl Jung called it it's archetypal consciousness, you know. So when you become a mother, you can't relate to your baby or bond with her for some time, but all of a sudden this consciousness at some point descends, or a father. The same way, the first time the wolf sees the babies in the cave there, his tendency is to eat them. You know? Smells good. So the female wolf will growl at him and protect him. Then maybe after a few days like this and that, one of the little wolves, cubs, will lick his chin. And suddenly the consciousness descends upon him, I am a daddy. Yeah. And it's, if you're a devotee, you can appreciate this. Prabhupada says, Varna Ashram Dharma is the highest material trap. Because everything seems so nice, it seems so human. You're a funny, intelligent, renowned sannyasi, you're a chaste, good woman, you're a heroic, generous, you know, kshatriya. But it's all superficial. You know? He says you can only surpass this last trap when you make friendship with a devotee. Because now it's a real personal relationship, and you can see the difference. Everything is just playing a role, everything else, even this nice role. But now this is something, you know, with a devotee. You know? So again, Prabhupada, one smile from Prabhupada or one comment, then people, that's the bija. This is a real person who really felt something about me and so on. Wow, okay. And then we can cultivate it. Of course, with animals, this is very difficult to cultivate because they're so covered by the mode of ignorance. Their sexual relation, which powers everything, is controlled. And by the Paramatma, they're being forced to take lessons. The trees are even more forced. You know? Yeah. And then when we come to the mode of passion, okay, then there's some choices, right? Anamaya, pranamaya, manomaya. Okay, a little girl can do that, but a little boy doesn't do that. Oh yeah, okay. So we develop this entire monodharma, right? You know, well, a Bihari can do that, but not a Punjabi. Oh yeah, Bihari. Yeah, you know, Bihari, Punjabi, this nation, this gender, this culture, this, you know, this is all monodharma, you know, monomaya. And it's civilized life. And of course, the Vedas describe, huh? They give a whole thing there about how a kshatriya should act. How many dharma shastras are there? Unless you answer at least one question, you can't take prasadam. You failed on the Godhead. How many dharma shastras are there? How many does Prabhupada mention? You know?
Many.
Huh? Many dharma shastras. He's a cheater there, yeah? Okay. Yeah. You Russian? Yeah. 81. He says 81 primary dharma shastras. And he especially mentions Manu Samhita, Yajnavalkya, and Parasara's dharma shastras and so on. And they give very practical advice, the Parasara Dharma Shastras for Kali Yuga. I found a copy of it, very difficult. And there are many things in there which are very appropriate to ISKCON in terms of marriage and divorce and these kind of things, because it's for Kali Yuga. Manus is more for what? Dwarpara Yuga or something, just very high. You know? So it's there. These things are there. And we, intuitively, if we're purified, we act that way. And otherwise, they're there to guide us and tell us this is how a lady should act, this is how when a girl should get married or not married, or should ladies take sannyas. So many practical things to create the proper attitude, you know, to allow us to experience something higher. You know, the whole thing is bhava. Antarastrika Sri Krishna, bhavanamrita sangha. Yeah, the whole thing is attitude, perspective, bhava. That's what we're trying to change by the books. Yeah, you need to learn something, you need to understand something, but really you need to change your attitude. And then the bhava can be stimulated, you know, and then the bhava will concentrate to become prema. Yeah. So the sex desire is there, it's the motivation, it's the adi rasa. Yeah. And then the animals are controlled, the plants are controlled, they're taking their lessons. People in the mode of passion, then, civilized ladies and gentlemen, they have some choices, they have some free will. And so then they can make those choices and then they can create new karma. But in the mode of passion, you're still, you know, being pulled. You know, Arjuna is demonstrating the example of somebody who can renounce the fruits of his work, but he can't renounce his mode of acting. Right? He can give the if he wins the battle, he can give it all to Krishna. But he has to act like a kshatriya. It's just, he's attached to that mode of work, right? It's a different kind of karma yoga. If Arjuna was here now, how big would he be? About this big, right? You know, with big, broad shoulders and a big mustache, and all the ladies would be going, oh, and very heroic, and all the guys would be going, oh. This is a kshatriya. He's heroic looking. He's beautiful. You know, he has authority. These kind of things. You know, that's his karma. His nature is to. He wants everybody to respect him. You know, in these relationships, and he'll protect anybody who surrenders unto him. Two sides of the coin. If you accept me as your leader, get behind me. I'll take care of this. You know. So there's a kshatriya dharma. Partasarthi Das. Yeah, he was in the Iraq War and everything else, and he had very many very very great realizations about Krishna consciousness and kshatriya dharma, and how, you know, extending it very deeply. You know. But so it's there. We're still being pushed, but now we have some free will and some choices. So in the mode of goodness, you know, then we have choices. Now we can make the decision. Now Krishna says, okay, what do you want to do? It's your choice. Of course, in the beginning, they're within the box and stuff and everything else. But you start to make good choices, and you create new karma. That's how you create your karma. And if you make the right choices, then Krishna says, okay, you've taken care of your little kitty cat, you know, well enough. Now I'm going to let you take care of your little sister when I'm gone, right? So we're promoted from, you know, worshiping the deities on the altar and then sticking pins in them by mistake, you know, to actually dressing Krishna and so on. Yeah, and so it's a matter of actually then going into devotional service. You know? Then of course in devotional service also, now it's just pointing out still the still thing is still the still that sex desire is still adi rasa. And of course, in the beginning, it's there with Lakshmi and Narayan. How old are Lakshmi and Narayan? 35 years old? 25 years old? Yeah? Yeah? About, you know, Nitya Kalila is about 15 or 16 years old. You know, they're all also like young boys and girls, and everything is like so nice. Gopakumar said Lakshmi was treating him like her son, and how are you? Everything's okay, and you know. And so it's a very, very nice atmosphere, but there's still respect and veneration, you know. And so Vidura wanted to hear about Krishna's activities in Dwarka. In Dwarka? Yeah. Well, yeah. Because that was a step up, you know, from the more formal activities in Hastinapur. Matstanam, his intimate position, you know. And in Dwarka, then it describes how Krishna was received in Dwarka, and how the queens received him, right? Yeah. And so they have a little bit different relationship than Lakshmi already. And there's Mahavishnu, Vaikuntha, Lila avatars, I think it's Dwarka, Mathura, Dwarka, then Vrindavan, and so on. And even in Vrindavan, there are different relationships. If you told Mother Yashoda, hey, at night your boy's sneaking out and associating with other guys' wives, other men's wives, what would Mother Yashoda do? Bam! By the nose. My boy would never do that. Yeah. So, even in Vrindavan, these are, you know, very confidential activities, and they have to be adjusted, you know. So, we have to learn how to be civilized, ladies and gentlemen. We have to learn how to be Brahmins, Brahminical culture, which is anybody can participate in that. Then we have to learn how to become devotees and appreciate and worship, and be purified to worship the deities. you know, Radha Gokulananda in Berkeley, Prabhupada's deities, Radharani in her original form is not completely dressed. I won't go into details. But so if you're a brahmachari and you're bathing Radha and Krishna here, it's really, you have to adopt the mentality of being a female body. Either your mother Yashoda or a gopi. You can't have any kind of male body. Can't do it. So you have to be sophisticated enough, if you're worshipping Radha, Krishna deities, to be able to adopt a certain mentality. If you're a lady, if you're dressing Krishna and rubbing him with a towel and stuff, most likely you're thinking, oh, Krishna, Mother Yashoda, like this, and so on. So we're already practicing. And of course, if you practice enough, then the deities actually manifest themselves, and you're really serving Radha and Krishna, and so on. Prabhupada says, grihasthas who do not worship the deities to the fullest extent of their economic and material prosperity are 100% guaranteed to fall down. The bodily concept of life is so strong in grihastha ashram, my house, my family, my wife, these things, that the only way to avoid that is to install the deity, physical form, cook for the deity, dress for the deity, and then you can avoid it. You won't fall down, and then you begin to actually like the service, and then you actually start to understand Krishna's, communications, the Paramatma is there. So it's a very, very, what's the word? Complete process. Prabhupada's giving us everything to gradually arrive at entering into this canto and realizing all these things have nothing whatsoever to do with the gross body. Prabhupada said, if you can understand the feelings of the gopis after 1,000 lifetimes, you are making rapid progress. But we can get a hint. So, any comments or questions from anybody here? Yes, sir. Is there a microphone here? Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
As we're hearing and chanting and trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, how do we really know what is our nature and what is our dharma, finding that right place? I'm a pujari, I'm a sankirtan man, I'm a pot washer, or should we not worry so much about identifying our dharma or whatever thoughts you might have about what we are, who we are? Should we put more focus on the hearing and chanting and just submissiveness, or should we think about how to place ourselves in the institution?
Okay, wow. Yeah. I would say the hearing and chanting are also regulated by, your position in Varna Ashram. I know very closely quite a few devotees who love to organize educational programs, seminars, invite professors and do all this kind of stuff. And they like to talk every now and again, but not much. So they're managers, they're kshatriyas. Kshatriyas know the scriptures, but they don't preach. Like that, Yeah, listen to this guy. Hey, you all, listen to this guy. I want you to listen to him. Okay, so that's what they do, So they're happy arranging, organizing, promoting the hearing and chanting like that. And then the Vaishyas, one Vaishya, he was living in Miami, had a big mustache. He knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, you go out and make a lot of money and everything else and so on, and maybe eat at McDonald's, vegetarian meals at McDonald's and stuff. It's a Vaishya, you're making money, you do some simple things. So he came in before Janmashtami a couple days before in Miami Temple, and they had a big altar with big curtains, and the curtains were looking a little ratty. So he asked the pujari, why is Jamasthami is coming? You should have new curtains. And he said, yeah, but they cost like $3,000. He said, here it is. And make sure you mention my name during like that and so on. Yeah, but that's, he doesn't want to manage. He doesn't want to, to organize classes and all that kind of stuff. And but he likes to fund the stuff. Prabhupada told devotees who were rich and giving donations, he said, they said, I trust the devotees. He said, no, you make sure they're using the money properly. So Vaishya has to be able to see, what's happening. Then the Shudra, Shudra, they're very, inclined to abilities. Their skills, their tools, these kind of things. And they're very happy painting. I am Shudra, Brahmana, Brahmana, Brahmana. Since a little child, always getting up early, these kind of things, but Shudra. So I like to do, whenever I'm miserable, I'll do a PowerPoint show. So I'm going to make a PowerPoint show. And PowerPoint is Shudra activity and stuff, but I do them for educational things. Okay, so yeah. By the time you take second initiation, you should have figured out basically what is your Varnashram position. If you're a Shudra, you don't need second initiation. Jayananda forgot half the mantras, and his Brahmin set was black from automobile grease. Yeah. He was a mechanical engineer. You know, he left working and stuff. Whenever he was in a Brahminical position, he was always, you know, big hands and always would, as soon as anybody showed up, he would put them in there and get out of it and go back into the garage and get to work, you know, yeah. And so he was much more than a, you know, than a, what do you call it? He was, as far as I know, a Nityasiddha, you know. Yeah. So by second initiation, we should have become purified enough by the descriptions in the scriptures, by feedback from other devotees, by trying out different services. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In services in regards to Bhajagoti's question, in the temple, a devotee may be asked to do a variety of things.
Yeah.
And whatever they may be asked to perform,
yes,
they have to do it.
Yes.
To the best of their ability.
With a smile.
And realizing that they're getting benefit from this.
Yeah.
It's just like in Bhagavad Gita, it's better to be a sincere papuasher than a charlatan meditator. So we in ISKCON are more organized,
more civilized.
People are put into positions which might be more compatible to their natures. But in the beginning of ISKCON, we were asked to do so many things.
But I would go beyond that and say that Krishna himself, you know, may put you in a position which is not exactly your Varna Ashram to help you get off that attachment. In the university, they give you vocational interest tests. I had, you know, explorer, pioneer, research scientist, all this kind of stuff. The bottom thing was banker. The first job I got in the San Francisco temple was a treasurer. I would just sit and look at the money like, I just had no interest in money whatsoever. When Brijbasi Palma said, he said, I've never seen such a big line for sannyas, but also such a big line for handling other people's money. This is Hanuman. He's handling other people's money, yeah. Anyway, but I had to completely go onto the jnana level. Why am I doing this? What is the purpose for doing it? So Krishna pushed me off of the karma yoga level onto the level where I was doing my service. You know, because on a jnana level, which is much better. Because then you can adjust and you can do things even though it's not your gross nature. You can, you know, do something at the right moment. And sometimes I was temple president and, you know, as soon as anybody else would show up, I would get out of there and they would get me out of there. It's like it was just not my nature. Yeah. But yeah, it's the truth. But I think sometimes Krishna does.
Motive behind doing that activity, then our service is conduct. But if the fruits of our labor are solely dedicated through the spiritual master to Krishna, then it becomes bhakti.
Even though we're growling and howling the whole way. I'm doing this for you. Yeah. Draupadi was growling and howling the whole way, but she, you know, except in the end that she wants something here, but, you know, so your final, I guess it's time. And now, one time, one class, one devotee raised his hand and asked, when is prasadam? And so, according to the clock, prasadam is now. Okay. So I want to thank everybody. And today is the anniversary of our birthday, you know. So we're going to try and organize a Vyasa Puja And other people are organizing it, whatever. I don't agree with all the way it's being organized. Not my monkeys, not my circus. You're temple president, you can say, I'm not in charge of everything here. I also disagree. Yeah. But we're having a program.
Decorations are very nice.
Huh?
Decorations are
very nice. Okay, good. Yeah. So we want to offer our obeisance to everybody. Today is a good day to give charity. Oh, where's the bag? Bring the bag. I have some charity right now, and I'm going to give. What's his name? Satrajit? No. Bring the bag to me. Yeah. Satrajit got a jewel, right? Satrajit. Oh, my God, you spilled the water. Okay. Yes, okay. Okay. So Krishna told Satrajit that the best of everything should be offered to the king. So today we want to give charity, and today for the temple president we have a bottle of Santa Cruz peanut butter. Guy, only American food. Right, yeah. You can see he's an American. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Back home, back to God.
Ki jai.
I'm trying to bug him on. Yeah.